Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, welcoming you to an episode of Table Talk. In today's feature, we're featuring Al-Ma'idah, as we were reading the Quran during the month of Ramadan, Al-Ma'idah, the table spread. And we have special guests that are joining us today, and we're going to have a conversation, a spiritual journey on the month of Ramadan, and then we're going to give them the opportunity to share with us some information on how they are remaking the world into a better place for all people. And so we're going to go ahead and open 318752. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Nadia Ahmed, and I'm here in Houston, Texas with the Islam and Learning Institute.
Yes, ma'am, and welcome, Sister Nadia Ahmed, to our program today. And you are one of our very valuable special guests. And so we are grateful and excited that you are here with us today. We are also looking for an Aliyah. If you are
Assalamu alaikum. I'm a certain man. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to you all. This is Hajar Olaiya Humphrey Ford, and I am calling in also from Houston, Texas this morning.
Alhamdulillah. And so welcome. We welcome both of our guests. Now that we have everybody in queue, we are going to take a short station break. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about each one of our guests. And we're going to have some sincere conversation and inspirational messages for you, inshallah. We'll be right back after these station breaks.
Assalamu alaikum. And thank you for supporting the CWSC AM 360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Go on,
Kalita. So yes, welcome back to Table Talk. We are going to have Sister Latifa Hamid go ahead and read the bio for First Sister Nadia Ahmed. Again, we welcome everyone for joining us today.
Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And welcome, Ramadan Mubarak, Sister Nadia, Sister Olaya, and our listening audience. We're so happy to have you with us today. Nadia Ahmed, she's the widow of Imam Qasim Ahmed and the vice president of Islamic Learning Institute. She worked very closely with him the past 25 years in strategically developing his intellectual materials to assist in the development and education of the Islamic community in association with Imam Wardeen Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. Nadia also traveled to numerous cities across America and the British island of Bermuda to support and assist in the education and the propagation of Islamic knowledge with Imam Qasim. In 1999, she accompanied Imam Wardeen Muhammad on a World Unity trip to Rome as a special guest of Chiara Lubrich and the Focolaria community. She believes very passionately in passing the torch of love and humanity and unity throughout the family of humans, with special emphasis on children. As a young mother, Nadia homeschooled her children while working toward a degree in education. Her passion for education was inspired by Imam Muhammad during the 1980s when education was promoted as our number one priority. Nadia's believed is blessed with the gift of 5 children, 7 grandchildren, and a host of step as well as adopted children. As a believer in Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nadia intends to continue to support the legacy of Imam Qasim, promoting the love of the Holy Quran, which includes learning the Quran in its original language of Arabia, living the guidance of the Quran, and teaching its knowledge. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best among you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it." Okay, we will bring on Sister Nadia Ahmed.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listening
audience,
Sifa and Sifa Khalida, and Ramadan Mubarak to everybody as well. And thank you so much for this opportunity to be this morning. You know, this is Ramadan, and so, you know, we're fasting and the spirits are high, and, you know, we're reading Quran every morning in Arabic, you know, with a group of believers. We actually have 2 different programs going on. We have one that's led by sisters, and we have another one that's led by brothers. And we welcome the believers to join either of those 2 groups if they want to have the opportunity to read Quran in Arabic. During the mornings, we read for the first couple of hours from 6:30 to 8:30 Central Standard Time.
So
we've got a lot of other things going on, too, but that's just the beginning to start off with here this morning. Inshallah.
Well, alhamdulillah, we will get to that. Sister Nadia Ahmed, I am so delighted to hear your voice. It's been a while since you visited us here in Charlotte, and you have done some phenomenal things. So I am really interested in learning a little bit more about your institute and also how Ramadan is evolving for you, because we know it's a process. And so thank you so much for joining us today. The first question I wanted to ask you is, what initially inspired you to create the Institute of Learning? And if you can give us the exact title of your institute, please.
Okay, sure. Actually, you used the right word when you said inspire, because I try to move by inspiration. Of course, you know, I worked all those years with Imam Qasim, and he's the one who actually created the whole idea of Islamic Learning Institute back in 1978. So, and he and some of his students actually put together the courses, the books, the initial books that he used to teach from as he traveled across the country for over 40 years, you know, teaching the believers and outside of the country as well. And so upon his transition back to Allah, that's when I like to use the word inspiration, because what we're doing now actually it happened purely through inspiration from Allah. It was, you know, we had looked at doing some online classes, but we hadn't actually reached the point of approaching it. But we had actually met about it, talked about it, but we had not made any actual movement toward establishing online classes. And so, but the inspiration came 3 months after we buried him. That Allah inspired my heart to go ahead and do the online classes, which at that time I'd never really used Zoom like that, so I was a little intimidated by Zoom, and so I was a little hesitant. But once I realized that Allah was speaking to my soul, I just called my best friend up, who is the next person I know you're going to introduce, Sister Olaya. I called her up, and she was already working with us, creating flyers and helping us with marketing. With Imam Qasim as well, Rami Allahi Lay. And so I called her up. So that's like the beginning of the online program. But the Islamic Learning Institute was established since 1978. I think that's about the time that I became a Muslim under the leadership of Imam Muhammad, Rami Allahi Lay. And so I won't take credit for that, but I'm thankful to Allah that I've had the opportunity over the years to work with Imam Qasim and to help him to promote and establish Islamic Learning Institute, the idea of Islamic Learning Institute, which was a mobile school, and that's what he referred to it as, a mobile school, because he didn't actually have a building. At one point, we did actually have a building for about a year here in Houston, and we used to host classes throughout the year, in-person classes here in Houston, Texas. And so, but since that time, you know, we've never had a building before. So he actually referred to it as a mobile school because he traveled across the country, out of the country, to host these weekend courses to teach people how to read. And of course, you know, so much more. But he inspired people throughout the community to learn the Arabic, and I'm sure has many students around the country and out of the country too as well.
Alhamdulillah. And, you know, we're very familiar with, many of us are, your late husband, Imam Qasim Ahmed Rahimahullah. He did come to Charlotte several times, and he did phenomenal conferences on Arabia and learning the Quran and just reading with your subconscious mind even. And we thought that was just a different perspective. But we are grateful that you were in place to carry out that inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that vision and purpose. We know that Allah knows the past, present, and future all at once. And we sometimes when we're in the midst of something, we may not know why we're there, but Allah will eventually manifest that. And that's what we see in you, and we are delighted to have you here carrying out one of those Khalifa missions that began back, as you said, with Imam Qasim Ahmed and your union in 1978. And it is the Islamic
Learning Institute. Which refers to people say ILI. ILI for short, but it's ILI.
Okay, that's what I see. Okay, so wonderful, ILI, Islamic Learning Institute. So we want to give you a few minutes to tell us a little bit more about the curriculum that you offer and also about how many students that you currently have.
Well, let me just start a little bit, if I can start with the very first semester we did, which was in September of 2019. And when I received the inspiration to go ahead and do the online classes, and so we promoted it just here in the city of Houston. And we had about 8 people to register. So we started the classes with the 8 students. And Solaya actually was one of the 8 students that enrolled in the class the very first semester. And then the second semester, I invited her to teach a class. I said, we'll do 2. You do 1 and I'll do 1. And to give her that opportunity because she studied Arabic. She had had some studies with Arabic previously, so I knew she had some skills. Plus, we had done some classes in San Antonio, which is where I met her for the first time. We had conducted classes there in San Antonio together using the techniques of Imam Qasim, Rahimahullah Alayh. And so that was like the beginning. So we started out the next semester. We had about 12 students. I think she had 8 and I had 4. And so it was after that semester, our second semester, that Allah really, really blessed us because we decided that year to host our first daily juice reading of the Quran in Arabic. And so, and that was really inspired too by Sister Fitra, who kept asking, why don't someone start reading in Arabic? And she said it 3 times straight in a row, and that's when I got it. I said, that's it. So we started that class, and it was phenomenal. We had so many sisters that registered, a few brothers, but most of the brothers, they didn't really stay in the class. It was mostly sisters. And it was after that semester that so many of the believers was inspired that I think our enrollment jumped from 12 to 60-something that first semester.
Wow.
That third
semester.
Yeah. And from there, I can tell you the enrollment has climbed. All in one semester, we actually had 300 enrollees. That was our highest number. So it fluctuates from, I would say, 150 to 200 and something each semester. You know, it fluctuates up and down. And so, and this is our, well, let's say we have 3 semesters in 1 year. So starting from fall of 2018, all the way up until now. So I think that we're in our 5th year. This coming September, we actually conclude our 5th year. You say, we've been doing this for 4 years. And the courses that we've added on is tremendous. We started out with 1 course, and that was just the beginning Arabic, using most of the techniques that Imam Qasim have developed over the years, running line late. And so after the 3rd semester, we've actually extended a course. We had the 2 beginning courses, and then we started what we call reading fluency. Well, reading fluency is a course where after you learn the basics, that we begin to teach you some basic tajweed rules so you can begin reading with a little bit more precision. And so each semester, as we move forward, the students that came in, the believers that came in to study with us, actually grew up. So the next semester, we had to start a reading fluency B. So we had two beginning courses. We had a reading fluency A, started a reading fluency B, because those students who were in A, we have to move them on to B. And that's what has really pushed us to the point of where we are today, development. The movement of students coming in and progressing from one level to the next has really elevated us and progressed us to the point of where we're offering over 20 classes now. We started out with one class, we have over 13 instructors as well. So we have the reading fluencies, which is levels A, B, and C. And then we have, after that, you go into attached read, which is levels 1, 2, and 3. And, of course, we want more than just learning how to read. That is the first initial step. And so then we begin instituting the classes in the grammar, Quranic grammar. So now we have progressions in grammar where the believers can actually learn how to go in and read the Quran and understand what they're reading and not just be able to read. The goal is to be able to go in and read and study and do tafsir. And, you know, Allah will inspire you. When you're reading the Quran and you want, you know, deeper knowledge with a sincere heart, Allah will inspire you and He will guide you and He will give you deeper understanding. So if you know the grammar and you know how to go in and look words up, and Allah will actually guide your mind and your thinking to give you a greater understanding of His message. And so pretty much that's what we're doing. Yeah. So we have a Salah class. We have progressions in the grammar, as a matter of fact, too. All the way, we have the beginning, levels 1, 2, and 3. Then we have progressions, level 1, 2, and 3. And like I said, our courses are driven by the students. And I think maybe our second year, I was on study al-Islam, and someone asked the question, why aren't you doing this for children? And actually, that was the inspiration to start our Young Scholars program. So which we had in mind of doing it. We hadn't actually started it, but with that question, that inspired us to go ahead and start our Young Scholars program, which we're in our third year of Young Scholars programs. And so whatever we do with the adults, we also do with the children. So whatever courses we host, you know, for the adults, we also do the same thing. So we have the grammar, we have the reading fluency, we have the grammar for the youth as well, and we also have prayer. And the new courses we have coming up, same thing, we'll duplicate that. Whatever we do with the adults, we're going to also offer it for our young scholars as well.
That is amazing. And I remember go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go
your
ahead.
Inspiration. You were very inspirational, and you're an educator at heart. I remember you telling me how you, when you used to work in the school, that you were very adamant in teaching. And so you also had just a knack with working with students and getting them to become their personal best. And also you had strong classroom management. And I remember you just giving advice in that area. But you never lost your tenacity or your enthusiasm, and it just carried right over into Arabia. And that is a blessing. And so I want to ask you if you can give us your staff just and a little bit about their credentials. Because we are looking to inspire some people, inshallah, today to go ahead and enroll in the Islamic Learning Institute, and we would like some information around that after you tell us who your staff members are. In addition to that, let us know how we can enroll and what the requirements would be, inshallah.
Sure. All right. So, of course, we have Sister Olaya, which is your other guest this morning that's on with me, and she was the first instructor that I'd invited to work with Islam and Learning Institute. And after the courses began to progress, and of course we needed help. It was just the two of us, right? So we were teaching all the classes. And so I think it was about my second year, going into the second year, that Allah inspired Sister Anissa to come in and work with us. And then she's the one who began teaching the Tash Week class. She had about 30 students that first semester, and was all like, wow. We thought we could read, but after we got to the Tash Week class, we learned that it was so much more to learn aside from just very basic abilities to read the Quran in Arabic, and it's so rewarding. And then we have We have Imam Hatim Hamidullah, which is Imam Qasim's first Arabic student in Dallas, Texas, when he first began to teach the Arabic courses in Dallas after Imam Muhammad, Rami Lane, for both of them, had given him the instructions to go to Dallas and work with the believers in Dallas. So, of course, he was honored to come on and work with us. So he came in and began teaching. I think he was teaching he started teaching the first Arabic courses that we offered. Imam Hatim Hamidullah out of Orlando, Florida. And then we had another one of Imam Qasim's students, Imam Tariq, which I heard his recitation of Al-Fatiha at the very beginning of this program, as a matter of fact. One of Imam Qasim's people also said that he reminds them of Imam Qasim in a way, the way that he talked and his whole demeanor. But he also studied with Imam Qasim. So then he came aboard, and he's still one of the, both Imam Hatim and Imam Tariq, they're aboard members too, Islam and Learning Institute. So he started teaching one of the courses that Imam Qasim had designed, which is, what's the name of that course?
That was Brainstorming with the Quran.
Brainstorming with the Quran. I couldn't think of it. Mine was blank.
Mm-hmm.
Brainstorming with the Quran. Yes. So he's the first one to design that course and begin teaching that course. And then we started the next course. Of course, now at some point we did bring on Dr. Hajra Abdul Salam out of Virginia, and she began teaching the Read Influence the A course with us, and she's still on, very strong, very, and she actually has a degree in natural medicine, but she's trained with us, and this is one of the things we do, that when the believers come and work with us, study with us, and when they qualify themselves, and if they're interested, we will invite them to come and begin teaching courses, and we're really looking for the younger generations in their 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, to come in to work with the Institute. So we're preparing them to take over the Institute someday to run the nonprofit institution. And so we also have, we got some,
Nadia Saeed West, right.
I've been knowing her for many, many years. And so she came on board. She was studied with us, a student at first, and we invited her to come and teach. She started out teaching the beginning course, and so now she's teaching Read Influency B. And of course, she has several degrees. She's really in the medical field, but she's very organized and, you know, has that young mind that's really sharp. And
yeah.
She's excellent. She works very well with the students. And since then, also we have, now I've been missing somebody because I'm talking from the top of my head right now. But with our students, our young students, we also, Allah blessed us to get Sister Suya Hox. Now, she studied in Syria, too. She completed the program. So and I believe she's fluent in Arabic. She's the one who's been actually granted many of us ijazah, you know, so the certification in being able to actually teach Tajweed, which is one of the programs that we have with the Institute. And she also is teaching the grammar. She's over our grammar department as well. And
She's the sister who recently taught Imam Rashad's wife.
Wow. Right, so she worked with us very diligently and dedicated. Then we have Dr. Fanusi out of Maryland that's also very dedicated and working. She works, loves working with the student, but she does an in-person course with the young scholars out of Maryland. And come on, Sister Alai, you're going to help me out so I don't miss anybody.
Okay,
like I said,
we have Imam Salahuddin and Sister Fonda Muhammad.
That's a couple right there. That is a family.
That's a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a couple. And out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And they both are awesome. And Sister Fonda works with kids. I mean, I've never seen kids so motivated to learn the way she interacts with them. But they both are very supportive and very excellent instructors. Imam Salahuddin teaches the Salah course that Imam Tariq started. I think he was the first instructor of that course. We also have Imam Sister Naima as well.
Thank you. She's wonderful.
Brother Zaina
as well.
Brother, yeah, I'll get to her next.
Brother Hanif Abdullah. He was an instructor with Marty, I think, for about 10 years, something like that. Really good in the grammar. So he teaches grammar with the adults with Islam and Learning Institute. And then Sister Naima also, she was the first one to actually begin teaching. She's the second person. She began teaching grammar after Imam Hassan. He taught the very first grammar course.
Right, exactly.
And Naima taught our second grammar course. And Imam Abdullah Rashid's class, you know, many of us were in his one time. She was like one of the top students in his class. So she's really good in the grammar too. Most of our instructors are younger generation, you know, in their 40s, 30s. And we actually have a couple of them in their 20s. And Imam Wazi Ali's oldest daughter, Fatima Ali, she worked with us too for a couple of semesters, actually for a few semesters. She left to work on her master's degree in college, and we're hoping that she'll come back too. And she's actually one of the youngest. She's in her 20s. And then we have another new student that's instructor that's coming on board, young too, Sister Aisha.
Both Aishas. Aisha. And Rashid and Aisha Abdul-Rahim.
Yes, we have Sister Aisha Rashid. She's been with us for a couple of years now, I believe. She works with the children as well. So if I'd known I was going to be asked that question, I would have had the whole list that I could just read.
And you know what? I was thinking 5 or 6 people. I am so impressed because I'm like, wow, yes. We have a whole institution for real.
Yes. You know, just
like,
keeping up with all the instructors, it's a wonderful problem to have.
Yes, ma'am. And so, go ahead.
I was just saying they're all so passionate about what they
Absolutely.
Working with the institute and working with believers, you know, we really enjoy what we do. We feel like Allah's hands is on what we're doing. For the community. Sister Lai, you want to add? Because I sure hope I haven't forgotten anybody. You want to
say
something?
I'm trying to think. You said Sister Zaina, and she's out of New York as well. And she was a student of yours, kind of grew up with you all in a sense, Sister Zaina Habib.
Oh, yes, I remember her being a part early on, I thought, because I used to see
that
information on Facebook. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. So, Sister Alaya, we are grateful that you are joining us as well.
Well, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome. We're excited. We want to know how we can register. If you forgot anybody on your staff, go ahead and give them a shout out now to make sure that, you know, it's not from the heart, which of course they know that. It would be from the head. But we're going to kind of move right along. You could go ahead and give them a shout out.
Another young teacher that we forgot to mention her name too. And that is Sister Baina Shaheen.
Yes.
And she's very young too, and she's teaching the upper level progressions in grammar. Very good in the grammar.
That's a hit, sis. Reading in Arabic, because most of us are people scared to step out on faith and go ahead and move with it. They've been through the introductory courses. They've been through, of course, the letter sounds, the Arabic alphabet, etc. And then it's time to move on. And so that it forced them, and people like a challenge, and the sincerity of it, and the solid foundation that you, Sister Nadia Ahmed, and Sister Olaya have contributed has made that success. And of course, Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Alaleh and his leadership has also inspired us to be thinkers that think outside the box.
Yes.
So we are grateful.
Exactly.
We're grateful for this opportunity. Now, if someone wants to register, what are the requirements and how do they go about it?
You know what? I'm going to let Sister Aya give that information to you. But before I do,
sure, absolutely.
I continue without mentioning Imam Fahim Shoaib, that he taught one semester with us last year. He taught one semester with us. He taught the level 2 Salah class, and I'm so glad Allah blessed me to think about him, because
He and his family in Oakland, such strong supporters of Islamic Learning Institute, always have been, even, you know, when Imam Qasim actually called Oakland like his second home. So he had a really great, strong love for the believers there, and they loved him as well. So they still support the work that we are doing with the Institute. So I wanted to add that in, too. And he was like,
yeah, that's
the professor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. We know him. We know Imam Fahim Shuaib, and it seems like everyone who is vested is totally vested. So go ahead, Sister Alaya. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes, we have a website, and it's IslamicLI.org, LI standing for Learning Institute. So in the registration, you can go on to just keep scrolling. There's so many classes being offered that, yes, you spend a little time and seeing what all is available. We have dual tracks in the sense that one does not only have to only take one class. One can take more than one class. Insha'Allah. And depending on what the class is, some of the classes have prerequisites. So, of course, like reading fluency B would have the prerequisite of reading fluency A. But what we do is that we have a way of testing any potential students so that we get them in where they fit in. If they are already at the level and they have not already had the Islamic Learning Institute's prerequisites, we can test them out to see where exactly it is that they fit in, whether it's one of the levels of the reading fluency or whether it's the Tajweed levels. So we want everyone to just be comfortable where they are. One of the benefits of getting into the Tajweed classes is that it's just the Tajweed in and of itself is the way for us to get better and even perfect our own personal means of reciting Al-Quran. And trust me when I say, as many years it is that I've been Muslim, in the past 2 years attending these Tajweed classes, I didn't know what I didn't know. I was reciting all kinds of stuff, some things correctly, some things incorrectly, and the things that were incorrect or that needed to be improved, this has laid the groundwork for me and several others to improve on unprecedented levels we couldn't imagine, and then also for the things it is that I may have been doing correct but didn't know why it was correct. The Tajweed opens the door to that knowledge as well, and I'm telling you, the knowledge of doing something, knowing how to do something and knowing why to do it, that's the package.
Yes.
That's the package.
Yes, ma'am, it is. Alhamdulillah. And so, Sister Olaya, we are going to go ahead and read your bio, if we may. You are doing such a phenomenal job, and I can tell you are an educator. I love that voice. It is very engaging, and you can just tell that you know how to elevate and engage those minds. So we're going to read about. Yes, Sister Hajah Olaya Humphrey Ford. Sister Olaya Humphrey Ford is a native of New York City, where she reverted to Al-Islam in 1985 and made Hajj in 1988. She has studied Arabic at Emory University with Mali and with the Islamic Learning Institute. In addition to starting as a marketing specialist with the Institute, she's been one of its instructors since 2020. She also has provided administrative marketing team building and Islamic education for Masjid Bilal in San Antonio and many other Islamic organizations. As a graduate of the University of Texas in San Antonio with a bachelor's in human resources management, and as a certified adult continuing education and corporate trainer, Sister Olaya brings her passions to the Muslim community, helping people leverage their human potential by better preparing them for their roles at work, at home, and in the community. She is also a creator of her line of jewelry, Queen Beads by Olaya. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Yes. So give us some more information about you. What should we know that it was not on your bio that you would like us to know, inshallah?
Well, I'm having the time of my life. I can honestly say that. I would say that engaging, and especially out in this kind of like semi-post-apocalyptic COVID environment, in this whole womb of connection that has been built across the country with the Islamic Learning Institute as an instructor and as a co-student, because many of the instructors were sitting in classes with the students it is that we ourselves have trained. So, yes, it's just such an organic way of being. And again, I'm having a time of my life that this is like the perfect combination of everything it is that I've wanted to be, alhamdulillah, as far as a trainer and one that's helping bring forth whatever little bit it is that I can in fun and interesting ways, and ways that make this learning stick. So that's just really, if you want to know anything about me, that's really what it is that I'm all about, is helping this Islamic knowledge to stick and stay, is helping us all feel like we can own this. I feel so passionate that we can see a community full of mothers, fathers, daughters, husbands, whole families in this community. Just imagine a world. Imagine a community where everybody in every community can read Quran in its original language. It can be done. We're doing it. We are doing it.
Yes. And you're inspiring, alhamdulillah. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the team building in Islamic education that you did for Masjid of Bilal and what that looks like?
Mm-hmm. Oh, alhamdulillah. I had the extreme pleasure of being in the San Antonio community for 20 years, and we bridged the gap between, wasn't really a gap, one of the things it is we did there in San Antonio was just bringing everyone out and asking those questions. Okay, what is it that you want to, as a community member, what do you want to see? What are your needs as far as, in your homes? What do you want to learn? But also, what is it that you can contribute? Because, we have this issue in our communities where everyone focuses on what they need. I want to bring the question, and I've helped to ask that question, what can you bring also? Because in the Masjid Bilal community, that's really what it's all about. It's not only what we need, but what can we bring? And then we created this relationship with the Austin community under Imam Asim Sharif, to where we were looking at making impact in the sector of prison ministries, in the sectors of feeding the hungry. And, it's just been a wonderful ride. And then also one of the biggest team buildings that we have been doing is team building with the interfaith communities. Sister Nadia also was, she's gone to Turkey with, as you mentioned in her bio, about the connection with the late Kiera Lube with the Focolore group. So with San Antonio, with Masjid Bilal, there was a major connection with the Focolore group and in many of the interfaith communities. That's one of the strongest features, one of the strongest aspects of San Antonio. And then just being here, just connecting, being here, working with the Fifth Ward Islamic Center here in Houston, which also has very many ties to tenant prison ministry, as well as helping the disadvantaged communities as well with feeding, drug rehab, drug education, anger management education here in Houston. So I've been a part of that as well. And then just, you ask, you need help, and I just try to keep my skills ready for anyone that asks or needs something, and I just try to be there, just try to be there with whatever it is that's needed. We had a wonderful Ramadan conference here just yesterday, which is National WDM. So it was a part of that program, and that recording is on YouTube, so that's something that's up here as well.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Sister Nadia, hats off to you, sis. You definitely know how to pick your staff, and you hear that enthusiasm that she has in her voice. So she's definitely a happy staff member. So that is great.
It's not so much handy as it is God inspired.
Yes.
I see a lot of people, this team of people that's working with the Institute, because they, all of them are very, very dedicated to what we're doing. Even in the midst of all the other things that they have going on in their lives, they make space for Islam and Learning Institute for the work that we're doing. Alhamdulillah, and I'm so grateful for that, you know, to Allah and for them for being so dedicated to the work that we're trying to accomplish for our community.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is so much of a blessing. And it's also Sadaqa Jariyah for your husband, Rahim Alali, Imam Qasim Ahmed.
Absolutely.
Yes,
you know, I think about this sometimes. You know, I just imagine for our dear Imam, what is it going to be like when Allah comes forth to him and reminds him and tells him, gives him the record of his Jariyah? All the people that have been not only affected before while he was here, but everything that he will be reminded about, everything that he will be brought to mind to him, hey, this is your record. This is your jariyah. Yeah, Imam. It's going to be so powerful.
Yes.
So powerful. And really, that's what we're looking to do, is just inspire, okay, you see how this is a work of jariyah for one. But this can be a work of jariyah for all. Get into the Institute. Learn how to read Arabic. Learn how to recite Arabic and take that knowledge, whatever class it is, and take it and figure out what your particular type of jariyah can be out there in the community through the help, the inspiration of the Islamic Learning Institute.
Amazing.
Alhamdulillah. Sister Khalida, before we run out of time, we did want to kind of talk about other programs that we have coming, a national tour. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm in conversation with your dad and some of the other believers there in North Carolina to bring the tour there sometime either in June, or we're still looking, trying to find a comfortable date for everybody in that area.
Yes.
So that this, what we call the Year of the Quran, 2024, the Year of the Quran, it's not anything new that we're doing. It's just really a repeat of something that Imam Qasim Rahim Lahilay did years ago. You know, he said the Year of the Quran, and he traveled all across the country teaching under believers and encouraging them to study the Quran and showing them the ease and how to go in and pull the knowledge out, you know. And so and I was inspired with that idea to do. So we've been to two cities. Our first city, we call it Historical Dallas, which is the first place he hosted his first Quranic Arabic course there in Dallas, Texas. So we went back to that exact same masjid. Alhamdulillah, they got ready to tear it down and build a masjid from the ground up. But we were able to make it to that building before that happened. So we call it the historical tour right there, that first stop in Dallas. So it was a wonderful time. In fact, with Olayi now, we're there. We taught the beginning course. And then I did an intermediate course where I just did some of the big basic rules for Tajweed. And she actually started from the beginning with the alphabet. So we had both about the same amount of students, and each session that we did was an all-day intensive. And that's what we're wanting to bring to your area, to North Carolina. So we're looking at actually Greensboro and hoping that the believers will travel from Raleigh and Charlotte and the other surrounding areas to come in so that we could be there that one day, big intensive day. And everybody should leave out with something greater than what they had. And the most important thing is the inspiration to do this and to stay with it. A lot of people get in a class, they drop out, they'll get in a class and drop out. But we take on the attitude of we cannot stop now. So we cannot stop. Right. That means that we have to continue to go and progress. So no failures. We say everybody progresses. You know more now than you did at the beginning, so you have progressed. And that's the way we give it to all of our participants that come and study with us.
Well, come on down here
and
light
us up. Can I just say a little quick something really quick about the structure of our classes? And speaking of that, too, about not finishing, one of the wonderful things about the structure of the Institute is, yes, knowledge. We understand life happens. life is not going to stop just because you want to take a class. So our structure allows for those life challenges to where we have recordings for every single class. It is where someone could always go back and listen back. We have the online modules for each class. So one doesn't have to feel pressured that they have to be in a certain place in a certain space every single class. You can go back at your own leisure and catch up. So, yes, it is very doable.
That is phenomenal. That is awesome. We want to give our listening audience a few an opportunity, if they have any questions at this time, to press 1. But before we do that, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity, both of you, to give us just a reflection on how your Ramadan is going and what is Allah really speaking to in your life at this point, because I know for myself he's really putting some things at the forefront of my to-do list. And if you would just share that first, and then we'll take one or two questions, and then we'll let you close out with giving us your website and information to register, inshallah.
Okay. Well, I actually would like to take this opportunity, and what's exciting for me in moving forward, even for the month of Ramadan, is what we're planning for the summer. We have not had a chance
mm-hmm.
to say.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put it out there for the radio listening audience. For this summer, the course is coming up because for the first time, we're going to be teaching the seerah of the prophet. We're going to have 3 levels where people can come in and learn about the life of the prophet. And I think there's something that's missing, too, you know, is that we need to know more about the prophet, his life, and all the events, that challenges that he had, because that's inspiration for us to continue to do what mm-hmm. we're doing and see so that we can see the need for the things that we need to do to help to build this model community. And so we have that. That's a 3-semester course. Then we're going to have the basic Aikido course. And everything we do, remember that we do for the adults, we do for our young scholars as well. And then, of course, our ijazah prep, where they can now prepare themselves to ijazah, meaning to be certified, to be able to teach people tajweed and certify them as well. You have that qualification. And then, of course, our hasid program. So we're going to be offering a memorization course. So this course, you don't have to know any Arabic to come in, because the instructors will be so highly qualified that they will be able to help you to give the correct articulation and pronunciation of all the sounds for all the short surahs that you've probably been saying for all your Muslim life, and now you'll be able to perfect it. So we'll be working on memorizing the 30th juz of Juz al-Amma. So I wanted to get that in real quickly, because that's one of the most exciting things for me that's really inspiring and motivating me through Ramadan, is what we are preparing for next semester. And I know we're running out. So I just wanted to put
fine.
That out.
That was perfect, sis. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. And when does next semester start, real quick? When does next semester start?
April the 28th is the first day. We hope to have registration open. The classes are there. We just say it's coming soon, but this one day this week we're going to open it up so people can actually go in and begin to register. Inshallah.
Mm-hmm. 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 And in the meantime, before registration opens up, please just go onto our website, because there are free things that are available, free courses that are available in information videos as well. So and there's books that the Islamic Learning Institute sells books as well. So it's a lot to be seen and had visiting the Islamic Learning Institute's website.
And what is that website address, please?
Yes, that is IslamicLI.org, IslamicLI.org.
Awesome. Beautiful. Anything that you would like to share, Sister Alaya?
Yeah.
The mic is open.
Well, as far as that, this is my 40th Ramadan. Celebrating, alhamdulillah, my 40th Ramadan this year. And I'm sitting here looking at the class listing, and I'm just so excited. I feel like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, what? You mean I can do my ijazah now, and I can take an Aikido class, and I can start learning about the surah of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I can go to a hafiz memorization course so that I can go back and get my juz'amma straight and right. I'm like, ooh, it's a lot. there's a lot going on. I'm so excited. I feel like I don't even know what to pick first. Really? So, yeah.
And you know what? Then, well, this is your right pick. And I hope this is a source of inspiration that Imam Wazir Ali out of Houston, Texas, has agreed to co-teach with Sister Anita Dewan the Sierra course. You know, and he's one of our best teachers on the Sierra of the Prophet. He's done some phenomenal things on the Sierra of the Prophet.
Well, so that's good enough. Forward. He'll be here for our fundraiser next week. So that's good enough. In Charlotte. But listen, that is one of the things that a lot of the people who come to our masjids and go to other masjids and they are familiar with Imam W.D. Muhammad and our African Americans, that's one of the feedbacks that we received is that the hadith and the seerah of the prophet is not the main focus. But, you know, when we start bringing more of that into our teachings, our Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi teachings and all of our educational background on the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, because we do use that as well, and all of our imams, Imam Qasim Ahmed, Rahim Alaleh, and et cetera, all the imams that have come through and are still working, peace to be the law, we can come together and really nail in on learning more about that, and so it can we can use it for practical application, and we can articulate it clearer because it's there, inshallah. But we definitely need to learn more. So go ahead and is there any person has a question? We're going to have you back because you are just alaykum as-salam.
It's Latifa. I just wanted to, before they get off, I just want to be one of the people that they're witness to the greatness of the Islamic Learning Institute, and Nadia has really been inspirational to me, and I have been in, this is my fourth class coming up, inshallah. I'm pretty sure it is, so I just wanted to let the listening audience know that it's such a great experience, and it's such a wonderful class, and the teachers are just awesome. So I just wanted to give that shout out before we end the program, inshallah.
Thank you so much, and alhamdulillah. And thank you for all of your years of support, my dear sister. And
alhamdulillah. You're so appreciative of the AM360.
That is our CEO, Sister Latifa Hamid, giving an excellent testimony, and we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. If any of our callers have a question or comment, we are winding it down. This is your opportunity. Press 1. Inshallah, we'll have these sisters back. We know that our dear beloved Sister Anisa Dewan, inshallah, may be able to join us next time as well, because they are definitely a team. I'm sure she sends her salutations of greetings and Ramadan Mubarak to everyone.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan Mubarak.
Okay, so I don't see any hands up, so I'm going to go ahead and let you sisters close us out with any comments or and end with a strong dua, and inshallah we'll be following up with you. Thank you so much. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. All right, so Lai, why don't you close us out with the closing remarks and a nice dua. Inshallah.
Yes. Well, we ask Allah to make heavy our scales with the Quran and make it a light for our vision and a cure for our hearts and a departure of our worries and sadness. We ask Allah to open up the doors and keep the doors open in a way that our eyes are open to, that we can see the door that's open to learning this Quran in the most beautiful way, and we walk through it and experience all the light that is on the other side. Let us not stop now. Bring our whole families into the realm of learning the word of Allah. Not only learning to read it, not only learning to recite it, but learning to live it better and to learn how to use it to invite others to the light as well. We ask Allah to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan ever. Accept it with the mercy, the forgiveness, and the absolution from the hellfire it is that you and only you can give our dear Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen.
Ameen. Thank you so much.
Ameen.
We appreciate you. Ameen. All right,
yes,
we are going to sign off.
Please
say what you're
going to
say.
All right. I just wanted to let everyone know that please do not hang up. We have the Ramadan session coming with Imam Yahya Abdullah. I'm going to take a station identification. I'm not going to hang up. And then we'll come back and we'll tune you in to the Zoom, but it won't be a Zoom. We'll do the audio from the study of El-Islam, inshallah. All right. Did you want to say anything? Well, thank you all. Thank you, Sister Nadia. Thank you for Sister Alaya for taking the time to come and address us. We appreciate it so much, and definitely we'll have you back. And like Kalita said, we will definitely have you back. So I'm turning it back over to you, Kalita, and then we will go to a station identification and then give on for the Ramadan session, inshallah.
Yeah. And I just want to also thank you so much for always thinking about us and helping to promote us. We are truly a team. We are one. We are one collective body striving for the same goal in life. Thank you all.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran. Shukran to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Sita Hadid, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Patricia Nitma Muhammad of I.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Team, Teams, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Intrafaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, Ambassador Programs, and International Collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC, Inc. Thank you and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the creator with no partners. Muslims have 99 popular attributes for Allah. What is Alice?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ni'mat Shaheed.
God's peace be upon you.
Mexico. No. Bermuda is like Hawaii. It's my humble opinion. It's more beautiful than Hawaii. But very, very expensive now, but it's worth every dollar. They call it paradise. I call it paradise on earth also. Very beautiful country and beautiful Muslim community we have. Imam Basim, and my dear friend Kamal and his family there. So greetings to all of you all in Bermuda who are joining us. And we always want to be mindful of our community members there in Bermuda that are part of the community with Imam Wali Tuddin Muhammad's community in the United States. And Mujahid Abdullah and Amina, his wife Abdullah, that are in Okinawa, Japan. So we have Muslims there in Okinawa, Japan, from our community that are there, and they join with us for Friday prayer, Jummah, and also for our Ramadan sessions. So greetings to you, Mujahid and Sister Nina, Ramadan Mubarak to you, and so many more. And you know I always mention our Sister Junaina Abdullah, because she stays up 12 hours ahead of us, and she's on with us for Jummah, and she's also on with us for the Ramadan session. And all of them that I'm talking about now, some of them watch us on Facebook, some of them watch us on YouTube, and they share it with their family, friends, and associates. So, alhamdulillah, the word of God, Quran, the life of Muhammad the Prophet, and the unique insights of Imam Wali Tuddin Muhammad from the United States of America is being shared around the entire world. So I want to welcome all of you all on our social platforms, and thank you for being a part of our Ramadan sessions. Okay. And we also welcome, and my dear friend, Dr. Tricia Harris, if you're joining with us, I know your church service, she may not be on with us live today. Their church service ends at 1 o'clock, and it's there in Dallas, her and her friend David. So it's 10 minutes after 12. So they're probably still in church, but I do know they watched the program last week, and thank you for your kind words, my dear friend, Dr. Tricia Harris. Dr. Tricia Harris, which has formed the basis for the Ramadan session this year. So thank you very much for that, and we will be addressing another one of your questions from the Quran, which I put up on the board, chapter 60, verse 1, in the word adui, enemies. So we're going to be addressing that verse from the Quran. What does the Quran say about enemies? Called Christian Jews enemies? We'll see. When we get there, we'll go through that, which will be shortly. Today, as we did last week, we're going to take a break at 1:30 for Salat Zuhr. Our prayer here, prayer time in Jacksonville. Some of you all join us. We won't cut the feed. We'll keep the broadcast going. So those of you all who would like to join us for Salat at that time, because we have members here in Jacksonville also that's online. They're not necessarily here at the masjid. We have a few members here at the masjid. Most of our members are watching online like you all are also. So you can join us for the Salat. We'll stay live. As I said, we'll continue broadcasting. And then after we finish our prayer, we'll come back and continue the session. So I begin now our Ramadan session with the sayings of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, short on Ramadan, on Ramadan for those of us who are fasting the month of Ramadan. And I have here the actual book. I shared this with you all Friday from my dear friend, Imam Vernon Fareed, that passed away a few years back. And his wife, Dr. Sweeha Fareed, continued to work and published the book, Fasting for Allah in the Blessed Month of Ramadan. So, Dr. Sweeha, I'm sure you're on with us. Please put your contact information. We sold out, Ahmed Majidi sold out all of the books Friday because I'm promoting the book and reading from it. I'll read from it today. And also your book that was written by Imam Vernon Fareed, Uniformity in Prayer. So those two books, Uniformity in Prayer, especially for the new Muslims. You want to learn how to make salat? Someone sent me a question. How do I learn how to make salat? Good question. We have the book with pictures, instructions, the CD is in the book, published, cover everything we need to know about the prayers. Dr. Sweeha Fareed's contact information, if she's on, I don't know if she's joined us just yet, but she will. And she will put her contact information up where you can order the book, Uniformity in Prayer, to learn how to make salat and fasting for Allah in the blessed month of Ramadan, these two books. So make sure you get those. I wanted to get that to you. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, is reported to have said, according to one of his companions, Abu Huraira, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan sincerely, hoping for a reward from Allah, from God, all of their previous sins before Ramadan will be forgiven, will be erased. Whoever fasts this month of Ramadan, now I know there are many people that can't fast, but there are options, things that you can do, and you can read that in the Quran, chapter 2, verse, let me give you the verse, the exceptions. For those of you all who cannot fast, turn right to it. Chapter 2, verse 184. Okay? So if you will read verse 184, and you should have your Qurans with you. This is a class now. This is not Jummah. We say it's Ta'aleem because that's Islamic education, which it is. But it's a session, a Ramadan session, where we have interaction. I have our technicians, Alan Rahim, we thank Allah for him, and Uthman Shaker sitting. They are behind the scenes mechanics that make all of this work, and we thank God for them. So they are watching the streams. Any of the questions you have, put it in the chat. They'll get it to me. So, you know, we have a little more informality. Not as formal as we have to observe during the Friday prayer, Jummah, okay? So you can interact with us. Those of you who are not fasting because you can't, chapter 2, verse 184, tells you what your options are, okay? So you should be at home with the Quran, you should turn. If I say 2 and 184, You should be on that page, that chapter page right now, 184. And it's very clear in English. And if you have any questions about that, put it in the chat, and we'll answer it near the end of our presentation. Because we have a formal presentation. I do have a prepared presentation and then we'll take questions from you later after our prepared presentation. Okay, so the Prophet, he said, we're going to fast this month of Ramadan, sincerely hoping for a reward from Allah, because God gives the reward for it. Allah told the Prophet that, tell them, O Muhammad, that all the deeds of the children of Adam that they do, they are for them, except fasting Ramadan, as-sawmu li. The fasting is for me, God, and I will give a reward for it. So we are only fasting for the sake, the pleasure, obedience to God, for the sake of God. That's it. And think about it this way, logically now, what you know the answer to, I'm just going to pose the question. It's a rhetorical question, they call it. One that I'm going to ask, but I know the answer. Would you fast 29 or 30 days with no food? I know they have water fasts. I know they have juice fasts. I know they have intermittent fasts. All of those are good. But for Ramadan, we don't have any juice or water during the daytime, okay? So there's no, you know, you take the count the night before you sleep and you wake up and you eat a little later in the day. No, that's not Ramadan. Ramadan is from sunrise to sunset, right before the sunrise. So we had about 12 hours, because it's springtime, 12-hour day fast. No water, no food, no relationships with your spouse until the sun sets. 29 or 30 days, depending on the number of days in this month. Now, question again. Would you do that? I know my answer. For any other reason, anyone else other than God, that type of fast? The answer is no. I wouldn't do it. 29 to 30 days with absolutely nothing for 12 hours? As-sawmu li. Fasting is for me, God said, and I will reward the fasting person for it. And I'm reminded in my mind now, Allah is on my mind, that one of the things of the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, when we're in the Jannah, paradise, God blessed us out of his mercy to make it, we hope, said the angels will say, ask a question. Aina sa'imun, where are those who used to fast? This is in the next life. Aina sa'imun, where Simon plural? Aina sa'imun, where are those who used to fast? And the Prophet said they will stand or say, Ana Habi, I'm here present. Say they will stand up. And in the next life, Jannah, paradise, special reward. And say the angels will say, all of you all who used to fast during Ramadan, they see that door, that gate over there? Bab al-Rayyan, the gate of Ar-Rayyan. It has a name. And it's a play on perception. I'm not going to get into the insights of that right now because I have something else. But if I start down that path, it'll be 10 or 15 minutes before I get back. Say, look at that gate there. Say, Bab al-Rayyan, the gate of Rayyan, that special door to their special blessings, Barakah, blessings behind that door, only for those of you all who used to fast or took those exemptions and you made up for, you couldn't fast because of health reasons or age or whatever, you traveling instead. So you have the exemptions, but your niyyah, your intention was to fast, you couldn't fast, so you took the options in chapter 2, verse 184. You credit as though you fast, though you couldn't, but you took the options. You can read the Quran. So So you can still make salat, okay? So the other things you can still do. So the angel said, behind that gate, that door, are special blessings for those of you all who used to fast the month of Ramadan. Now, I can't tell you what those blessings are because the prophet, he didn't say what they were. So we have to have iman bil ghaib, faith and what we can't see. That's part of being a believer, okay? Now, our religion doesn't require us to dismiss our reason and our rational senses to believe in it. Absolutely not. Quite the contrary. As a matter of fact, Allah says in the Quran, فَذَكِّرْ إِنْ نَفَعَ الذِّكْرَى. So think. Use your intelligence. But surely thinking benefits the thinker. So everything we read, Quran, think. Everything we read, Hadith, think. We hear, think. Listen. We listen because now you can listen to the Quran. I have apps, at least 3 Quran apps on my phone, and I can listen to it. When I'm not able to read, I listen, and I hear it. You're getting the same blessings. And then we have members in our community who, unfortunately, they can't read. A few of them are my friends. And greetings to you, my dear brothers. You know who you are. Ramadan Mubarak to you. And they can listen to the Quran. They listen to the Quran. They listen to me now. And they benefit from this same reward, same blessing as if you were reading. You pay attention. In the early days of Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's how Muslim learned the Quran in the first place. Remember, I share with you all the time, okay, this is the Quran in Arabic. Right here. This is the Quran, all of it. This one book contains all of the Quran. All of this was revealed to one person, Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in Arabic. You see how it's not as big in Arabic. Now, this is one translation, Arabic and English. Look how thick this is. Look at how thick this book is. That's because of the translation, the commentary, the footnotes, the appendices, the historical information, a lot of background information that scholars put in this translation to help us better understand it, and also to help us understand. Now, this is important for any scripture, Quran, Bible, Torah, the Book of Mormons, Rig Veda, any scripture, and really to be honest with any books, but particularly scripture, there is a context, C-O-N-T-E-X-T, context to the text, T-E-X-T. This is where you can go left or extreme right, depending on which you're reading. You have to keep in mind there is a context for the text, for the revelation. In other words, the condition, the environment, the circumstances, the time period, addressing certain issues, social circumstances in the 7th century that are not present in the 21st century. So if you pick up the Quran and you start reading it, you have to keep in mind that what I am reading in Arabic and also Arabic English was revealed 1,445 years behind me, behind us. So my mind, I have to have some history. This is just one book. Some history, Sierra, 9 volumes of them. Some history of the life of Muhammad the Prophet, the life of the Arabs, the life of mankind, the people in that world, the type of world that was back in the 7th century. Otherwise, you might not get the real understanding, OK? okay? Yes, Muhammad the prophet was a prophet. Historical figure, birthday, mother, father, address, city. Oh, they have his whole life history. And when you go to Arabia, which I've been there, been blessed to travel to Arabia, Saudi Arabia, the prophet's home, Mecca, Medina. I've been to Medina, alhamdulillah, praise God. There you get a different kind of perspective, different information from the people who lived there, the descendants of Prophet Muhammad, the scholars, the griots, those who memorized the Quran when it was not in book form. So when the Quran was revealed to the prophet, it didn't come in any book. You've heard me say that many times, and the scholars will share that many times. The angel Jibril did not give Prophet Muhammad a book. No. He recited, he pressed him, revealed, God revealed it, and the angel revealed it upon the prophet's heart, gave it, established it or imprinted it upon his heart. And he spoke the words, recited the words, just like listening to an app on the phone or a reciter, a live person. This is modern technology now. Obviously, they didn't have apps in the civil century. I know that. I'm making a comparison that when you're listening to the Qaris reciting the Quran, you're listening to people who memorized it by heart, they say, and they can recite it all back. They don't need a book. They don't have to pick up a book and open it and read it. It's on their hearts and on their minds, and they can recite all of it. Yes, that's how I came to Muhammad's prophet. But thank God we have it in book form, okay? And thank Allah we have it in all these different translations for people who don't speak Arabic, who are not Arabic speakers like many of our people in the United States of America. Alhamdulillah, we're learning Arabic, and we have many people teaching our community members Arabic. The Mali program, excellent program, but my friend Imam Salim Mukman doing an excellent job over a long period of time. Sister Nadia Ahmed, who's the widow of Imam Qasim Ahmed with Islamic Learning Institute, just to name a few of them. And there are many others, including myself too, that have been teaching Arabic for years, called Quranic Arabic, and so many others now that, and my dear brothers, you know who you are, and sisters, so don't bother me and say, wait, man, y'all didn't mention my name. I don't have anybody's name on a piece of paper here. All right, these thoughts are coming to my mind. So you know you out there. I know you out there. And more importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you out there. So keep on keeping on. Keep on doing all the wonderful work that you're doing to help bring about Quranic Arabic education to our community in these United States of America. And in time, we will have, and they're coming, growing, We will have scholars in the United States of America. We have some now. We will have more, like they do in Senegal, like they do in Ghana, like they have in Mali, like they have in Saudi, in Kuwait, in Egypt, in Qatar, in Abu Dhabi, in Indonesia, in Malaysia, these Muslim countries. So that's growing in the United States of America, and we ask Allah's blessings to be with us as we grow in our journey to learn more about the religion of Al-Islam. And last thing I want to give you for Ramadan before we pray and we come back with our questions. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, As-Sawmu Junnah, you know, As-Sawmu Li, fasting is for me. As-Sawmu Junnah, what is Junnah? As-Sawm, the fasting is a protection, is a shield, all right? The fasting is a protection of a shield. A shield from what? There's a metaphorical, that's a metaphor also, Junnah, fasting is a shield, protection, picture language, allegory, okay, analogy, that the Prophet gave us during the month of Ramadan. The gates of paradise, the heavens are open, the gates of the hellfire closed, of hell closed, and Satan is in chains, chained up, right? Okay, using your intelligence, thinking about that, you know that picture language. First of all, who can grab Satan? Where's Satan at? Again, where you at? Where's Satan? And who's walking around with chains? A lot of Satan's nothing but physical chains. That's a metaphor. It's allegorical. So then Florence in the Quran gives it to us this way. I'm in a shaitan. The schemes, the work of the devil, the work of Satan. And it's not spooky. No, these are spooky words. Okay, I'll give you an example. 32,100 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza. That is Amen of Shaitan, the works of the devil, the schemes of Satan. Yeah, right before our eyes. 133 people, unfortunately innocent people, killed at the Moscow concert hall yesterday. Amen of Shaitan, the schemes of Satan. They captured one of the killers, and they asked him, said, why did you kill these innocent people? He said, for money. That's what he said. He said, I did it because somebody paid me to do it. I'm in a shaitan. So he's working for the devil, for Satan. And this is all over the globe. Palestinian children and women dying of starvation because Satan's workers and his supporters carrying out I'm in a shaitan. The schemes of the devil just want the people to just die of starvation as a part of some kind of quote-unquote war. It's genocide. It's crimes against humanity. So we are witnessing, and I'm always naming a few of the big things that's happening out there. So much going on in this world. You notice I didn't hit the little weed man today, the little weed brother. You know, he's over there with his little weed. He's not as bad as the big devils. I didn't hit the little alcohol brother and sister. See, there are bigger crimes and sins in the world. We want to help our brother and help our sister, but those are small crimes. They only become big crimes when they start selling weed and selling drugs and trying to recruit other people into their sins and crimes. But what we are witnessing before our eyes, and I'll tell you something else. Now, you might not see this as I'm in the shaitan, the works of the devil. And the prophet saying, "Asalmu Junna, fasting is a shield, protection from these assaults of the devil, these psychological assaults, these moral assaults, spiritual assaults from the culture." People constantly being lied to and being told, "Don't believe your eyes. What you saw on January the 6th, were patriots, and they were tourists. I'm in a shaitan, the works of the devil." We saw those people trying to overtake the government, trying to overthrow democracy in the United States of America. But Satan, Allah says in the Quran, and this is Osama Jumna, fasting is a protection from this nonsense. Allah says in the Quran, Satan will make wrong seem like it's right. Hence, I gave you from the Quran Friday, one of those three elements, Hudan, the Quran was revealed as what? Guidance, Hudan, and Nas, guidance for mankind. Obey your Nas, Timid, and Hudan, number two. And clarity, looking for clarity in the guidance. And number three was what? Al-Furqan. The judgment and the criterion between right and wrong. So we have a big jinn, a big iblis out here trying to convince, oh, thank Allah, the majority of the American public, we say, no, we're not buying this. We saw those people trying to overtake this government, this the biggest democracy on earth, the United States of America. And you want to tell us they were on a tourist visit and this is patriotism, and they were good, wonderful people. Are you out of your mind? You can believe that lie, but all the rest of us, everybody in the world, saw those people trying to overthrow democracy. So that's another picture of Akhil Shaitan, the works of the devil. He tries to make wrong seem like it's right. But we're not buying it. We're not accepting that. All right? So we're going to pause right here and make this prayer, our little prayer. And we're not going to cut this feed off, as I said, so you all can stay on with us. So, Ron, if you don't mind, make the line for us. And we will make the father part of the bigger part of the little prayer. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Amen. تقبل الله. May Allah accept our prayers. Assalamu alaikum, Zahid. Assalamu alaikum. You need me to move the board, are you good? Okay. We're good to go. Can we make sure that door is locked? You going out, Adam? Okay. So, Jahala, you lock it? Okay. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, welcome back. Peace be with you again. Ramadan Mubarak. Now, if you were on and you were asking the brothers to lock the door, we still take our precautions here. I encourage you all to do likewise wherever you are. Take your precautions. We living in, I just concluded before Salah, talking about Amal al-Shaytan, the works of Satan. So we have to be as careful as we can. Yeah, we trust God. All of us do. So waqata alillah, we trust God. But remember what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, so waqata alillah, trust Allah, ra'atul ja'man, and tie your camel. Because the camel's nature is to stream, to walk off if he's not tied, tethered. So it's to remind us, we keep our faith and our trust in God, but we also are to be cautious, take our precautions, and the Quran instructs us to do so. Okay, so now we're going to the question that was sent to me by Dr. Tricia Harris, professor of comparative religion in Dallas, Texas. She's my friend, but I also call her my sister. My European American sister. Yeah, she's sister, and she's close to us, and not just me, but close to the Muslim community in DeSoto, in Dallas, the community there in DeSoto. We've known her for a long, long time. Very genuine, sincere person. So we clarified last week, and they were satisfied with it. She was, and not that she didn't have the questions. Her friend David satisfied with our responses, and he just wanted to know, how does he convince his friend overseas in the Middle East that he can be his friend? And so I suggested to her to send the presentation that I made to our brother overseas, and hopefully we can help him understand that better. So today the question is from chapter 50, verse 1, and he wants to know what is this meaning and how do we, the Muslims, how do the Muslims explain or understand this verse? Yeah, chapter 50. And by the way, that chapter started Surah Al-Muntahina. Al-Muntahina. That which is to be examined. And when the non-Muslim pagans at the time, the ladies came to the prophet, he questioned them about their sincerity. It's a long discussion about that. You could read the introduction to this chapter and what it is addressing. But that's the name of the chapter. Al-Muntahina, the woman to be examined, that which is to be examined. Chapter 60, verse 1. That is a long verse, but the first part of it in the middle part covers the enemies. And the question here, O you who believe, do not take my enemy and yours for friends by showing them kindness. They reject the truth that has come to you. They drive out the messages and yourself. All right. So this is the question. So I'm going to go to the chapter, verse 60, and read it in Arabic and translate it in English, and we'll see if we can understand this language, the term Adui. Bismillahi rahman rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So all of you are all sitting out there, joining us for the session, turn to chapter 60 if you haven't already, verse 1, so you can follow along. And if you can't read it, those you can listen to it. Some of y'all will be listening. Ya ayyuhal ladina aminu. Oh, you who believe. So it's addressing believers now. La ta'khidu aduwi. Take not my enemies, Allah revealed to the Prophet, wa aduwakum, and your enemies, now here's this word again, awliya'a. And we explain awliya'a in detail last week. A-U-L-I, awliya'a, Y-A-A-A. I want to leave this word out doing on the board. But I have some space I can put awliya'a right up here again for those of y'all who may not join us last week. Okay. And if you missed part one, I wouldn't call it part one, but if you missed our first Ramadan session last week, you can go right below this one later on and watch the Ramadan session last week on Facebook, YouTube, listen to it on American Muslim 360. I'm sure it's posted on Study Al Islam now, on Fitra's page, or in the newsletter, or her archives for Zoom. So I'm sure you can go there and watch it also and listen to it. The extensive discussion on Al Liyah. Protectors, guardians, okay? And we explain that in detail, awliya. So awliya does not mean a social friend like that, no. Rafiq does, I explained that last week. Sadiq does. And Allah calls Abraham Khalil. Khalil is friends. So I gave you four or five words last week for friends. Awliya, Rafiq, Sadiq, Bitana, one that you share as a confidant, Bitana, gave that last week too. And Khalil, friend. So we share five words. So the verse I'm reading from here, 61, is that word I gave you last week. Awliya. Don't take them to be Christians, Jews, or anybody else to protect our religious interests. The Christians shouldn't take the Muslims or the Jews to protect their religious interests. The Jews shouldn't take, and they don't, take us, the Muslims, or so this applies to every religious community. Each community is responsible for its own rites, its ritual, its laws, its regulations, its practices. We're responsible for that. Our protocol, each community is responsible. Each religious community are responsible. They're responsible for their own religious instructions. So we don't depend on each other to protect and be the guardians of our religion. That's what it's saying. But Dr. Harris, Dr. Tricia is my friend. She's like my sister. Close as a sister. So we get out, and she's not a Muslim. She's my Rafiq friend. And Rabbi Jack Ben Parad, known him since the 80s. He's my Rafiq friend. Rabbi David Rosen in Israel is a friend. He was also a close friend of me now. What is it, Dean Muhammad? Rafi, friend. The Folkelar, the whole community that was founded by the late Kiara Lubick, their whole community were friends of our community. And we interacted with them in Harlem, New York, with the Imam Ezekiel Pacha, went to Rome. Imam Wahid Muhammad formed a close bond, relationship with the Focolare movement and the Focolare community. So it's not talking about that we can't be friends with Christians and Jews. Aliyah, no. We don't take them to God, our religion, to protect us. We don't go to our Christian friends, our Jewish friends, our Mormon friends. Mark Romney, Bishop Mark Romney. I don't mention them as much, the Mormons, but they're very close to our community in Dallas, in DeSoto, the Mormon community. We have interfaced with them many times. The young people interact with our young people over the years, programs together. And this happens all over the country. So I know I'm not sharing anything unique just to myself or the Dallas community. This is because our leader, Imam Wahid bin Muhammad, God granted the highest station in paradise, he informed us, educated us, taught us for 33 years the Quran, Life of Muhammad the Prophet, True Al-Islam, and the Hikmah. Don't forget that now. He taught us the wisdom, the tatwili, the insights in the Quran. God bless him. And he taught us this over a period of 33 years, and he made it easy for us to have friends. And I'm talking about a community now that evolved from the isolated community known as the Nation of Islam back in the old days, all right? That Imam W.D. Muhammad, more than anyone else in America, is responsible for bringing us out of our little parochial communities and isolated communities to engage the broader community in the United States. And so we've created friendships from one end of America to the other, and even overseas in our community. Bermuda do the same thing in other communities. Omadosa Muhammad, greeting to you, Omadosa. I forget you sometime, my brother down in U.S. Virgin Islands. We have a community there in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I've been with them before for programs there. So Omadosa, greetings. Please extend greetings to our brothers and sisters in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And we say to you all over there, Ramadan Mubarak. And our Imam in Guyana, we say to him, Imam Osama in Guyana, Ramadan Mubarak. That's a part of our community in the United States of America, followers of Imam Wahid Muhammad. Greetings to our brothers and sisters in Trinidad. I was in Trinidad speaking to some of our members there a long time ago, followers in the community association of Imam Wahid Muhammad. Okay? So, and they all understand, Virgin Islands, Trinidad, Bermuda, and other communities that I'm not even probably aware of, that we have relationships and friendships with Christians and Jews, but we don't take them to be our awliyah, protectors and guardians of our faith. So that's what this verse is saying. All you who believe, take not my enemies. So these are enemies of God. Remember I said the text, the scripture has a context. So these are enemies of God. This could apply to the Christians, the Jews, and those who are enemies of God. They shouldn't be our friends, the friends of the believers. Take not my enemy and your enemies, why I do with whom, as your protectors. Now, this translation says protectors. It doesn't say don't take them as friends. It says don't take them as friends or protectors. They're protectors. Offering them to kuna ilayhim bil mawaddati, offering them your love, even though waqad kafaru bima ja'akum min al-haq, even though they have rejected the truth that has come to you. Don't show them love. Now, dear Christians and our Jewish friends, Mormon friends, let me share something with this verse in the Quran. Historical context. The biggest enemies of Muhammad the Prophet in his lifetime were his own people. Now, it might come as a surprise if you don't know Islamic history and the history of the Arabs before Al-Islam. Muhammad the Prophet, the biggest enemies, the wars that he fought, the enemies who were trying to kill him, were from his own people. Christians weren't trying to kill Prophet Muhammad. The Christians embraced Muhammad the Prophet. Where's that at, Imam Yahya? Hold on. The first migration, now this is for our Christian brothers and sisters, and I know Easter is coming up. The first hijra, it is called hijra, H-I-J-R-A-H. You know, many people say, oh, the hijra, the muhajirin, which is true now, historic truth. Left Mecca, went to Medina. Yes, but that was not the first migration. No. The first migration, hijra, and hijra means migration, was from Arabia to Africa. And not just any place in Africa, to the Christian king in Africa. Let me read it. Quote, in the early period of his mission, when the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca, the oppression of the Quraysh. Now, who are the Quraysh? Q-U-R-A-Y-S-H. This is our Christian community, Christian audience, Jews and others, you all listen non-Muslims, and some Muslims that may be new and don't know this history. The oppression of the Arabs, Quraysh tribe, and the Prophet was a part of that, big Quraysh tribe, Arabs. They weren't Christians, they weren't Jews, they were Arabs. The oppression of the Arabs, Quraysh, against Muhammad the Prophet, became so severe that the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, advised the believers. And this is what the verse is addressing that I'm reading, chapter 60, verse 1. They have rejected the truth that has come to you. Yukrijuna Rasule wa iyakum. And have, on the contrary, driven out the messenger and your spells from your homes. Why? And tu'minu billahi rabbikum. Simply because you believe in Allah your Lord. So they drove them out. Drove them out. The Arabs did this. Okay, now let's go back to the history. It was so severe, the oppression from the Quraysh tribes in Mecca, Arab tribe. It was so severe, the Prophet advised the believers to leave Mecca and migrate to Abyssinia, modern-day Ethiopia. Abyssinia, he told them, was ruled by a Christian king. Are you all listening to this? Oh, the Christians are the enemies of the Muslims. Really? Why did the prophet told the early Muslims who were being oppressed by the Arabs, his own people, to go to the Christian king in Africa, in Ethiopia? At that time, it was called Abyssinia. Oh, we have the evidence now. We have the history. He told them, Ethiopia, Abyssinia, he told them, was ruled by a Christian king, the Negus, N-E-G-U-S, who did not persecute anyone based on their beliefs. The prophet asked the believers to stay there in Abyssinia with the Christian king till God showed them an alternative solution to their problem. And so it was. More than 100 of the prophet's companions left their oppressive homeland. Y'all listening out there. And went to Abyssinia. That sounds like migration, doesn't it? Sounds like immigration. And Allah says in the Quran, where's my chapter? Chapter 39, verse 10, for your reference. The earth is spacious. Trouble one place. Go somewhere where there's no problem. That's what the prophet did. He said, hey, I'm sending 100 of my followers, companions. He said, leave these oppressive Quraysh Arabs. And he said, go where this good Christian king is, the Negus in Africa. Send them to Abyssinia. Now, when the Quraysh of Mecca learned of this, they discussed the matter among themselves, sent two of their men, Amr ibn al-As and Abdullah bin Abi Radiyah, to Abyssinia. When these men got there, they met with the king, the Christian king's courtiers, and gave gifts to them so that they would put in a good word in their favor before the Christian king. After this, this delegation from Mecca entered the court of the Negus, the king of Abyssinia. They told the Negus that some quote-unquote foolish people of their town had left their homeland and were living in his kingdom, and that they had come on behalf of their families and relatives, that they had come on behalf of their families and relatives to take them back to their homes. They sought his permission for this and asked him to hand over these people to them. The Negus courtiers also supported their appeal. The Meccan delegation wanted that the king should hand over the believers to them on their request. I only got one or two more pages, but this is important. Those historical reference to the verse I'm giving you from chapter 60, verse 1. They did not want the believers to be questioned by the king. When they made this plea in front of him, the Negus was displeased. He replied, by God, never will I turn them over. I will never hand them over to you unless they are called before me first and I speak to them and find out what is the matter with them. After this, the king ordered that the Meccan believers who were living in his land be brought to the court. When the believers were presented before the king, Christian king, contrary to local custom, now listen, the Muslim believers did not prostrate before the king. That was the custom when you came before the king. They said, no, we Muslims. We don't prostrate to anyone but God. So they didn't prostrate to the king. Oh, you think this is going to be a problem? Nope. The Negus was a Christian ruler. And so he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. This was his belief. But during the course of his conversation with the believers, when Jesus was mentioned, peace be upon him, the representative of the prophet's companions, a cousin of the prophet, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, said, Jesus was not the Son of God, but a prophet of God. Oh, he didn't disown his belief now. After ascertaining the truth about the whole affair, the Negus, N-E-G-U-S, gave back to the Meccan delegation their gifts and told them, return back to your land. He said that he would not hand over the Muslim believers to them. The Muslims, he said, could stay on his land for as long as they liked. End quote. Isn't that something? Now, so how in the world, okay, good thing. I already know what I want to read from that. Put all these pages down, turn them down. And I'm speaking to my Christian friends now. And if you didn't know that part of our history about Islam and the dear Muslims, if you didn't know that, you can research it. But it's in all of the history books. It's in the book that I have here that I'm going to read something from. As a matter of fact, let me go to the page that I have from the book. Page 419, Strategies of Prophet Muhammad by Omar Khayyam Sheikh. Now remember what I'm doing. I'm addressing the question of our duly enemies, Awliyah, and I've read up to the point they have driven out the messenger yourself from your home simply because you believe in Allah, your Lord. Okay? Let me read the rest of this verse. It's beautiful. In kuntum karajtum jihadan, Allah revealed to the prophet. If you come out, if you have come out to strive in my way, and to seek my good pleasure. Don't take these enemies to be your friends. To siruna ilayhim bil mawaddati wa ana a'lamu bima akhfaytum. Akhfaytum, pardon me. Akhfaytum. Wa ma ahlantum. Wa man yaf'alhu minkum faqad dhalla. So we'll take the questions after I finish my 15 minutes before. Take them not as friends, holding secret converse of love and friendship with them. For I know full well all that you conceal, this is God speaking to the prophet, and all that you reveal about the enemies, his enemies, and the enemies of the believers. And any of you that does this has strayed from the straight path. Now, there's nothing in here that says the enemies of Christians or Jews. Now, it doesn't exempt the Christians and the Jews who choose to become our enemies. If you become the enemy, then you're in the group with the enemies. But if you're not our enemies, Christians, Jews, Mormons, and the ones that I know are not our enemies, and I have relationships with, and many of us in America, they're not our enemies. They're our friends. They're allies, co-workers. And trying to make America a better place, the neighborhoods a better place, communities a better place. So we form alliances, interfaith groups and interfaith association alliances. They're not our enemies. But if they step over that friendship line and become our enemies, well, then this verse will apply. But if they're not our enemies, this verse doesn't apply at all. Yeah, I hope that's clear now. And by the way, you can have Muslims become your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just exclusive to Christians and Jews. Mm-hmm. We can have Muslims become enemies of Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we witnessing it?
Mm-hmm.
Sunnis and Shiites fighting each other from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Hence Allah addressed in the Quran. If a believer kills a believer intentionally, goes straight to hell. So this is nothing that the enemies, the Christians, Jews, and non-Muslims, they have no monopoly on being our enemies if they choose that role. Muslims can become the enemies of other Muslims. And this is happening right now all over the world. For example, in Darfur, I think I pronounced that in the Sudan, D-A-R-F-U-R. In the Sudan, southern Sudan, Muslims, African Muslims, as I speak to you,
right now. Yeah.
All of you all that are listening and watching us, African Muslims,
mm-hmm.
who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, there's no God but Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, both sides, they both say the same thing. In the Sudan, they're killing each other right now.
Mm-hmm.
They become enemies of each other. And why are they killing each other? Gold and oil has been found, discovered in the Sudan. And they're fighting for control over those resources instead of coming together and saying, hey, the resources belong to all of us, to all of our people. Why are we fighting for dominance and control? So this verse would apply to them. They're enemies fighting each other. Christians, they're not Christians. I just said both groups are Muslims. Both of the groups are led by Muslims. And they're killing each other right now. Shame. And the sad part about it, they attack each other. Allahu Akbar! Really? Sad. Mm-hmm. And you think Allah is with either one of you in the groups? Not at all. Put your weapons down and get to the table of peace, as Allah says. Make peace between your two warring brothers. You bothered by the truth? Then stop killing each other. You bothered by what Imam Yahya Abdul is saying to the world? Stop killing each other. I have to speak the truth from our religion, from the Quran. It doesn't respect me. It doesn't know you. God revealed the truth to Muhammad the prophet. And you heard me say before, if the shoe fits, and in this case, it's snug on both of you all feet, wear it. Because you're killing each other, and you should stop killing each other over these resources in that land. And you both are calling yourself Muslims, and you're out there praying and both sides hollering a wobble at the bottom. It's ridiculous. Quote, page 419. This is our Christian friends from the book, Strategies of Muhammad the Prophet. Quite a few historians have repeatedly argued that the prophet was harsh in his treatment of Christians. The historical facts point in the exact opposite direction. Muhammad the prophet, present peace be upon him, was adamant in his defense of non-combatant Christians and followers of other faiths. After his victory at Najran, N-A-J-R-A-N, the prophet declared, quote, to the Christians of Najran, and neighboring territories, the security of God and the pledge of his apostle, his messenger, are extended for their lives. The pledge of the apostle, the messenger, this is the prophet saying this to them now, to the Christians. He's addressing the Christians that they just defeated in a battle, a war, physical war. He said to the Christians of Najran and the neighboring territories, here's my pledge to you, security of God and the pledge of his messenger. I have extended it for your lives, listen carefully, to their religion and your property. To the present, as well as those that are absent and others besides, there shall be no interference with their faith or their observances, nor any change in their rights or privileges. No bishop shall be removed from his post, nor any monk from his monastery, nor any priest from his parish, and they shall continue to enjoy everything, great and small, as heretofore. No image or cross shall be destroyed. They shall not oppress or be oppressed. No tithes, T-I-T-H-E-S, tithes, shall be levied from them, from the Christians. Nor shall they be required to furnish provisions for the troops. End quote. Muhammad the Prophet. Now, dear Muslims, are you all exemplifying the life of Muhammad the prophet when he had the upper hand victorious in the battlefield toward the Christians? He said, we're not destroying the crosses. We're not getting rid of the bishops and the monks. We're not destroying your holidays. That was Muhammad the prophet. So our Christian friends, our Jewish friends, what do you see when you see this behavior of Muslims, brutality, terrorism, murder, rape towards Christians, Jews, or any others outside of what Muhammad the Prophet did, outside of what the Quran advises and what God revealed to Muhammad the Prophet. Those Muslims are not following the Quran during war, because the Quran allows for war now. And we'll get to some of that. My time is winding down. But we'll get to some of those war verses that's in the questions that our Christian friends sent to us. Okay? Muslims will fight. Muslims will defend themselves. Yes, we're not pacifists now. But you just can't come and I said this last week. This is our history. This is human nature. And anybody that lives in the United States of America should already know this. I mean, that's part of our founding documents, constitutions. And in fact, in America, they've almost made the Second Amendment a god. I recall one minister, Christian pastor, we don't go to this extreme. He had all his members somewhere in the Midwest. This was last year, year before last, when there was this big gun controversy. And congratulations to our Vice President, Kamala Harris, regardless of what you all out there think about her. She's promoting and advocating for sensible gun laws in America, gun safety. She was just in Florida at the high school where those children unfortunately lost their lives. I don't want to give the name. It's on the tip of my tongue, but it's slipping my memory right now. But she's speaking out against this, AR-15s. So this pastor in the Midwest, European American preacher, he told all of his members, this is true, this is going to sound funny, but it's sad. He told all of his members that have their own AR-15s, he said, bring the gun to the church. They did it. It was up on YouTube. They bring the guns to the church so we could pray over the AR-15. The people showed up at church with an AR, all of them had AR-15, and he blessed the gun. I'm saying to myself, you're talking about extremism, that you have made the gun of God in the United States of America. Now, Muslims don't go to that extreme, but we will defend ourselves and protect ourselves. But even when we have to, the Quran, Allah revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, and as I said, looking at the time, we'll get to that, inshallah, maybe next week. War, the verses on war, that's in the questions, war ethics. Muslims have war ethics like I just read to you from the book of the life of the Prophet. We just cannot conduct war any barbaric kind of way. So when you see that happening, those Muslims are violating war ethics of the Quran and the war ethics that Muhammad the Prophet set down and established. Okay? Let's see, did I cover that? Ah, yes. Got it. So, we have covered what we wanted to cover today. I'm doing. And I'll be out again from chapter 60, verse 1, long verse. And then the first migration to the Christian king, to sum this up, summary. The Prophet Muhammad telling the Christians in Najran after the war, you all, your religion is safe and secure. Muslims are not going to destroy your places of worship, break your crosses, burn your crosses, and tear down your house. Nope. Everything will remain intact. Okay, we're not going to charge a tithe. Now, I know I got a question about the jizya that was in Medina, J-I-Z-Y-A. That's a non-religious tax. The Muslims pay zakat, the non-Muslims pay jizya. Okay, but everybody was taxed, like the United States of America taxed all the citizens. That's all that was. But when we get to it, we'll explain that also. So now, my friend, we'll take whatever you had. Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead. I'll wait till you do that. So now we're going to take the questions that you all sent in here for the next 10 minutes. Inshallah. Yes, sir. I'm waiting for you. We're going to change out the CD disc. And when he tells me green light, we'll pick it up. I hope this is helping you all. I like number two. Now, while he's changing the CD, this doesn't have to be on there. We will have, inshallah, Salat al-Tarawih tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for those of you all who would like to join us for our Tarawih prayer. We had more than, I would say more than 500 to 700 last night that joined us. Some of you all joined later from the West Coast. You went back. And if you want to learn the prayer, you can go on this site that you're on, or YouTube. Take your time and study what I have put up, what we have already recorded of the Salat al-Tarawih. I do it in a kind of slow, not too slow, in a moderate pace, with short chapters, surahs of the Quran, so it'll help you to learn, inshallah. So you can learn these prayers, the extra prayers of Ramadan, Tarawih, T-A-R-A-W-E-E-H, from the word Raha, Rawah, means to rest, spiritual rest. So we will be conducting the prayer tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's for mainly those of us on the East Coast. Those of you all who finish up your meals in Central Time Zone and West Coast Time, and later on, if you don't know how to make the night prayers, just go up, pull it up. Masjid Muhammad in Jacksonville, Florida, that's the Facebook page. StreamYard, YouTube, Imam Yahya Abdullah, Al-Islam Worldwide Ministry. And you'll be able to see the Tarawih Salat that we did last week, that we did last night. I'm doing them, conducting them every Saturday night and Sunday night at the masjid, okay? And we're recording it so it can serve as an instructional tool, a teaching tool. Not just leading Salat now. Yes, I am, but I'm doing it in a way that it's instructional for those new Muslims and those who've been Muslims for a while and want to learn how to make those prayers. So I hope that could be of help. You ready? Oh, he said we're up and going. Okay, so now we'll take these questions for the next 10 minutes, inshallah, and we'll conclude. First question. Salahuddin, this is going to be, and I don't know which Salahuddin this is, just says Brother Salahuddin. This question requires more time than I have to address your question. Because that's a big controversial issue. And I don't have it in these questions. I'm trying to stick with what I have here. But it's okay. You all can ask me any question. So I'll come back to your question, Brother Salahuddin, inshallah, down the road. Because if I answer your question, it's going to take me somewhere else. And it requires a real more than 10 minutes to address it. Because the verse that this comes from, your question, Salahuddin, as you know, is a long verse itself, so it has to be read in the context of that verse. Question number two is in line with what I was presenting today. Question number two, are the Christians, oh, this is a good one. Are the Christians of that time the same Christians of the European or today? Today's time. Well, I'm going to ask the question this way, Brother Paul, assalamu alaikum. Are the Muslims of that time the same Muslims of this day? Follow the logic, man. Because there are some who say, oh, that's for the Christians of the past, Jews of the past. But they put the brakes on them and say, well, that's for the Muslims of the past. No. It's addressing Christians of that day Jews of that day, Muslims of that day, yes. But remember, I started off this saying Muhammad, the prophet, is a prophet. So he's prophesying a telling us to come. So we are Muslims in the 21st century. Christians are followers of Christ in the 21st century. Jews are followers of Moses in the 21st century. Mormons are the followers of their messenger in the 21st century. The other religious communities have their messengers. You notice what I said, messenger. I didn't say prophet. I said messenger. Because there are many messengers. The Quran says Muhammad the prophet is the seal. He's the seal of the prophets. The major seal of the messengers, Rasul, say he's the seal of the prophets. Okay? Rasul is plural for the Rasul messenger. Alright? So, just as the Quran applies to the Christians, Jews, Muslims of the past, much of it is applicable for the Christians, Muslims, and Jews of the day. Now, Brother Paul, that's a good, very perceptive question. Everything we read in the Quran is not necessarily addressed to us today. Let us be mindful of that. That's why I said there's a context, T-E-X-T, C-O-N-T-E-X-T, for the text. T-E-X-T. And the text should be read and understood in a context. Certain things don't apply to us. For example, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is mentioned, referenced in the Quran. That happened back in the time of the prophet. Now, we can glean some lessons from it. We can see some principles that we can get from it. But the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed by the prophet in his lifetime. And the hijra that I just read, to go to the second part of your question, Paul, the migration in the hijra to Abyssinia, Ethiopia, that happened in the time of Prophet Muhammad. Not out there. So certain things happened in the past. Quran addressed it. Certain things happening right now in the present. Quran, Bible, Torah has teachings and lessons, instructions that we can get, guidance that we can learn from. That's why we're believers. The Quran guides our life. And I'm going to say something about these disbelievers when that comes up later. So if I go there, that's another discussion. So that's been those questions, so let me just table that. All right? So in the future, 1,000 years from now, inshallah, they'll be Muslims. Their guidance will be the Quran and the life of the prophet. And whatever issues, circumstances, problems, conditions that they face 1,000 years from now, the word of God is timeless. Certain situations, certain conditions, for a certain time. But the general guidance of man's life on this earth times, because the human soul is still going to be the human soul, and its connective tissue, its spiritual connectivity is still there. All right. So, and Allah, the prophet, not Allah, the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, addressing this in the judgment, he said, "Dear Christians, Jews, and others, the Christians, Muslims." That have this mind. I'm not saying Paul. I'm not saying him for this. Excuse me. Because I do know, I have encountered, as some of you all have too, narrow-minded Muslims, narrow-minded Christians, narrow-minded Jews, narrow-minded people of different faiths. They're just narrow-minded people in the world. This is, maybe that's reality. So we have the narrow-minded Muslims, so I'm going to speak of our group, who say, no one is getting into paradise except Muslims. They believe that. Well, go to chapter 2, verse 62. I read that last week. Oh, you weren't here? Okay, hold on. Hold on. We got time to go there. As soon as I said that, I felt somebody jump. My spirit. No, you're wrong. No, I'm not wrong. Hold on, John. And sister, it's you. Hold on. Chapter 2, verse 62. And I'm going to say what the prophets of Islam said about our scriptures for the various religious communities. But now here's the Quran. Chapter 2, make a note of this. So you open and read, brother. Overseas or domestic in the United States. And then the Dina Aminu. Verily those who believe, and they put in parentheses in English, not Arabic, you're not going to find this if I'm reading it in Arabic. In fact, let me read it in Arabic. Now I'll give you the translation. So I'll go to the Quran. To the Quran in Arabic. And read it. In Arabic. 60, 61. All right, here we go. I actually turned to it. I'm about to open it up. It's right there. In Arabic. So this is all Arabic. So let's just read it when it says in Arabic. Inna al-ladina aminu. Verily those who believe. What? So now, this is a context now because it's what follows after the statements that follow after in this verse, chapter 2, verse 62, is helping us understand the beginning of the verse. Inna al-ladina aminu. Verily those who are believers in the Quran. Now, why we speak Quran? Listen. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا and those who are Jews, وَالنَّصَارَى Paul, and the Nasara, the Christians, that's the term for Christians, وَالصَّابِئِينَ and those who are Sabians, you can Google the Sabians or go read the footnotes in this, the translation of the Rishavali's translation, David Spanish. I'm reading Arabic, isn't it? There are no footnotes here. There are no commentary or translation. وَصَالِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ and whoever believes بِاللَّهِ in God وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ and the next life, the day, the latter days, the next life, the gender, the next life. وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَانِ and do good works. Who? Muslims, in the Indian Avenue, Muslim, had to, Jews, Nasara, Christians, Wasabiina, Sabians, men, Amin Abdullah. So that covers the Mormons, the Buddhists, everybody else who say they believe in God and the next life, and they do good works. Well, Amin Asalihan. Now look what Allah revealed to the Prophet. Salihum Adruhum. For all of them, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Satans, any that they believe in God, Ajrahum, they will get their reward and their Rabbihim from their Lord. Walakhawfun alayhim, and on them will be no fear. They have no need to live in fear. Walahum Yahzanum, and on them will be no misery and despair. Sadaqallah al-Azim, God, the mighty spoke the truth. That's what was revealed to Muhammad the Prophet. So hence the Prophet said this as we conclude this on this question. When he went on the night journey, the vision, the Mi'raj is called, the ascension. Okay? And by the way, when he came back, he established, we're talking about the Mi'raj, the Hijra, I mean, he established a community in Medina after this Mi'raj, the ascension. And the companions of the Prophet, they asked Aisha, his wife, young wife at the time, did the Prophet's body leave the bed She said his body never left the bed. His body was still there. God blessed him, took his soul and his mind on a spiritual journey. Just like we go on journeys when we're sleeping. We have dreams. But this was no dream. This was a vision. It was very descriptive in the Hadith. It's very descriptive. So when he went on this journey, the prophet in the Midrash, he meets Jesus. He encounters Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to go through all of this stuff. He encounters Moses. Jesus on the second level, John and Jesus the prophet. He encounters Adam. He encounters Aaron. He encounters Idris, Enoch. He encounters Abraham. But Moses and each group that he encountered, he saw the prophet came back and told him in Medina. He said, I saw the followers of Jesus following Christ Jesus in the ascension. He said, I saw the followers of Moses. He said, as the angel Gabriel took me through the heavens of paradise, he saw Jesus, God took me to paradise. He said he questioned the angel Gabriel, and I'm paraphrasing this. Who are all those people over there? This large group of humanity in paradise. And Gabriel said, Muhammad, those are your followers. He had the largest in the paradise. Okay? And he said, the Christians, now listen to your Christians and Muslims, those of you all with this narrow mind, Muslims, the Christians will be judged by their book, their scripture in the next life. They will not be judged by the Quran. They don't know the Quran. It's not fair to them. The Jews will be judged by Al-Tawrat, and the Quran is called Al-Injil, the Gospel. The Christians will be judged by what they say they believe in the next life. Not the Quran, the Bible. The prophet said, and the Jews will be judged by the Torah, thank you. And the Muslims will be judged by the Quran. Now, isn't that justice? Isn't that fair? The Jews, they say they follow the Torah. Okay. Netanyahu, you say you follow the Torah? Really? And you slaughtering 32,000 so far. 100 people, women and children, you starving them? Now, I don't know if he's religious or not. That's, I don't know that. I can't say one way or the other. I don't see any religious behavior. Can't see that. And some of the members of Hamas, I don't know if they're religious. They claim to be Muslims, some of them. But I read to you what the prophet did, how the prophet, and I haven't even gone into how the prophet conducted himself on the battlefield and how he instructed his warriors to conduct themselves. But I will tell you this. He said, don't kill women. Don't kill children. Don't kill the elderly. Don't kill the animals. Don't chop down the trees. Don't kill any non-combatant. And do not mistreat any hostages that you have captured. And furthermore, don't even capture hostages that have absolutely nothing to do with your battle. So those people that was at that stuff, I know I'm going to get somebody sent a text. Well, you know, they were oppressed on that. I know they weren't oppressed for 75 years. Somebody sent me a text the last time I mentioned this, like I'm uninformed. Brother, listen. I'm aware, keenly aware of the history. I'm keenly aware by the grace of God, how the Balfour Declaration set up Israel back in the 1900s. I understand all of that. I got that. I know that the Palestinians were oppressed for 75 years. I'm not dismissing that. So somebody sent me a message. Oh, don't make light of the 70s. I said, brother, I didn't respond to it. Of course, I didn't. I'm responding now. I don't make light of that. That's serious. But in spite of all of that, Allah says in the Quran, do not let the oppression and the injustice that others cause you or meet out to you cause you to act like them or become worse than them in some cases or become always display behavior similar to them. So that's what I'm addressing. Okay? So the brothers, you have no business, no right to grab an 85-year-old lady, an 84-year-old man, and children and babies and raping the girls if that's to be true. Whatever it is you're doing, you're violating the Quran and you are violating the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And you should immediately cut, you're at the table, turn over all those hostages, cut, make your deal for Israel, turn over their hostages that they have holding for you, and say, listen, we want to hurry to give you these hostages back. We shouldn't have taken them in the first place. That's the position of the Quran and the life of the Prophet. Unless they were enemy combatants, soldiers. And then even then, you ought to treat those soldiers with human, decent respect. Teachings of the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet. So when we get to those war verses that are in these questions that I have, I'm going to give you the verses from the Quran and Muhammad the Prophet's instruction and teaching, and you do with it what you will. But we choose to follow the Quran, not our emotions. And God addressed that. Don't let your hawa, your emotions, cloud your good judgment. God addressed it because he knows how we are as human beings and our emotional constitution and the horrors that are taking place in Palestine and Gaza. It's horrific. It's horrible. And it should cease immediately. And our hearts go out to the Palestinian brothers and sisters, and even some of the Israeli innocent Israelis. And I heard, and I felt so bad, that one of the hostages, they didn't say who, have died in captivity because they haven't received medical treatment for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know all the facts. Just relaying to you the information we have. So both sides need to get to the table, immediate ceasefire, in this conflict, stop this, the wholesale Israel, idea, Netanyahu, and the whole world is condemning this. And so we add our voices to it, this genocide and the slaughter and the intentional starvation of these children emaciated and this skin and bone. It's just, you can't, it is sad to look at this and the people on the other side calling themselves human beings, really? Well, in the judgment, buddy. And all of you all are doing this, you're going to have to answer for it. You're going to have to answer. And you're going to answer in this life also. But, you got some serious answering to do in the next life. And the angels are going to hold up the Torah and say, this is what you say you follow? And you did this to God's creatures? Allah created them. And this is what you did to them? Then Allah is going to hold up the Quran. Tanakh, you say you follow this, and you say you follow Muhammad, and this is what you did to the elderly people and the hostages? Really? Everyone is going to be judged by this book. And America, you're not out here. Don't forget about us. Oh, you say you believe in Jesus Christ and peace? And you still selling weapons to people that are slaughtering women and children? The Bible will be held up for you. And you say you are peace lovers, you believe in Christ Jesus, you're going to have to answer for that. Every people are going to have to answer to their book. Nobody's going to be. And we're not going to be judged by your book. You're not going to be judged by ours. It's enough in the Torah to stop this conflict. Enough in the Bible to stop this conflict. Enough in the Quran to stop all these conflicts on this earth. And those who are leading these wars, you are going to be held to account in the judgment. Okay? All right, that's concluding that. I don't think I need to add anything else to that. I want to leave that message as the last thing I say for today and pray the Lord reach the ears that can do something about it. All right, let's see. Okay, we'll answer that next week, inshallah. So I have a couple of questions that's going to take us a little more time than we have for this presentation. For those of you all who sent the questions in, you see what I'm doing? I'm putting them right here in my folder. And we appreciate it. So we will be addressing your question, inshallah, next week. I want to thank you all for joining us for our Ramadan session today. Okay, the time, the stopping. Join us tonight, as I said, for Start a Week Prayer, if you like, for us to start a week at 9 o'clock for the Ramadan session next Sunday, same time. So we will have the third session, 1 o'clock p.m. Oh, I know it was something. I made a note. Yeah, we have to cancel that. That's canceled. I'm supposed to announce that. The Ramadan session, that event in Miami, has been canceled for the 29th. That would have been next week. Yeah, that's canceled. We didn't get enough participation, so those of us in the stadium are sure about it. A couple of weeks ago, actually, and I just simply forgot to mention it. But that event has been canceled in Miami, the Ramadan session next week. So I will be here in Sha'Allah, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so Dr. Nasser Ahmed and the community in Miami, along with us, will be working. They want us to help here in Jacksonville and throughout the state to help plan and participate in the A Time to Be Grateful that's coming up in December, the wonderful event that has been over the years started, initiated by our dear sister and my friend Aisha Mustafa. So we'll be working towards that wonderful event, working to help plan it, participating, and as we get closer, we'll be talking about it, announcing it, promoting it. So she has honored the community in Miami, Florida, Dr. Nasser Ahmed, her dear friend, and Nasser Ahmed, our dear friend and brother. In Miami, and as such, the state of Florida, the entire state of Florida. So we'll be working to Sister Aisha to have a wonderful, very successful turnout and a good program here in the state of Florida in December, inshallah. So that event for next week in Miami is canceled. That's what I wanted to say. Let us make dua. Rabbina atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan. Our Lord, grant us the best that this life has to offer us, and grant us the best that the next life has to offer us. Save us from the punishment of the fires of sins. And O Allah, out of your mercy, please reduce this gun violence in the United States of America. Eliminate this gun violence in America. Please reduce and eliminate the violence all over this world. Please, Allah, bring peace to the Palestinians. Amen. Thank you all for being with us for Ramadan Mubarak. And by the way, housekeeping note, as you all know, there's no charge, there's no cost for the Ramadan session. Some of you all contributed last week. You went online, so Raheem will put up our website, www.alislamworldwideministry.com, and you can donate. But if you like to donate online, appreciation for our sessions, there's nothing wrong with charging. Some of the other communities that are holding Ramadan sessions have a fee, and they have every right to have a fee. I have a no-cost charge for the Ramadan session, but you are more than welcome to go online and make a contribution. Donate www.alislamworldwideministry.com, and you can donate online. If you prefer to mail a contribution in, you can do that also. Address it to Al Islam Worldwide Ministry, P.O. Box 3204, Jacksonville, Florida, 32206. We appreciate you. May Allah bless you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab.